Welcome in, everybody, on a very busy Tuesday night. The On Texas Football live stream is live. It's presented by Texas Electricity Ratings, and we are off. And you are in the right place for all the breaking news. And today is the end of the portal, at least the window closing today on the 30th, the final day of April. It's been open since the 15th. It's closing today. We'll explain how that all works. Paperwork's got to be in. So there's a lot of breaking conversations. Longhorns into the portal, Longhorns potential targets not getting into the portal, and then the very latest on all of the conversations surrounding the Longhorns, the players Longhorns would maybe like to bring in through the portal, and we're going to talk about it for the next hour plus. He is CJ Vogel with his finger on the pulse of the breaking news. He is Rod Babers with all the analysis you need. I'm Aaron Hogan, and we've got a lot to do. It is a busy Tuesday coming off the NFL draft and all the news the last several days. A lot to dive into. CJ, Rod, let's start with the portal itself. It does close today, correct, Siege? I mean, it's today's the last day. It's the last day of the month. We'll be in May tomorrow. But there, explain how the window works and how paperwork equals you still can be a part of moving where you want to go.
Yeah, absolutely. All paperwork must be submitted tonight by 11:59:59 on the dot. The minute that clock turns midnight and May comes, if your paperwork's not submitted, you are locked in to wherever you are currently. That doesn't necessarily mean that you will see portalers not be announced after tonight. Of course, there is a 48-hour window before, you know, you'll hear a lot of these names lock their way in those 2 days after the portal closes. So tonight's the last night to get your paperwork in. You'll see people announce their portal entry up to 2 days. May 2nd will probably be the last day that you'll hear portal announcements, but you'll see a lot of movement in the last 4.5 hours right now. Certainly right now, my phone's buzzing a little bit in regards to who is just entering the portal as well. We've just seen a all Big 12 honoree out of Houston at the cornerback position enter the portal. Isaiah Hamilton, interesting prospect there. Tony Mitchell, the second-year safety out of Alabama, just entered the portal as well. So some familiar names that you're going to see enter the portal from years past. Of course, Texas just suffered another portal casualty with Kendrick Blackshear, the linebacker, who just committed and transferred in from Alabama. He entered the portal again this afternoon to give Texas their 9th portal entrant this spring. A bit of a surprise, but again, a guy who I think was a little bit over his feet a little bit and where he expected to be in the Texas depth chart. Again, I credit Leonga LaFalle and Maurice Blackwell for really pushing that linebacking room to new limits this spring. I don't think Kendrick Blackshear really thought those two guys would give him a whole lot of competition at the moment. So Texas, again, down to 81 scholarships, started at 89, have seen nine portal entrants, and of course added Bill Norton via the portal up to 81 scholarships and go out and add 4 more. They can add just a few and give someone a scholarship like Burt Auburn on the roster right now. So we'll see what they do, but a lot to go through over the next, you know, hour or so in regards to the portal in terms of recruiting and the team. Busy time right now in college football, and we'll get to it all tonight on the Longhorn live stream.
Yep. Kendrick Blackshear just got here 4 months ago, Rod, and already back in, and that's a deep football team. I mean, TJ mentioned, Leonga LaFalle, Maurice Blackwell, Darian Gallette. There's a lot of young linebackers that recruiting class of 2 classes ago that Jeff Choate brought in, really talented young players that I think Kendrick Blackshear coming from Alabama maybe thought there would be a more of a pathway to the field, that he gets here and thinks, oh, man, maybe not, right? Then you have your exit meeting with your linebackers coach, and he's back in the portal 4 months later.
Yeah, and most of the attrition at Texas is because of that reason, right? Guys don't have a path to play, and that's why they're leaving. The only one that really probably isn't that's a bit surprising is the Terrence Brooks one, because it seemed like he definitely had a path to play, that he was going to battle, be the co-starter. So that's the one that for Longhorn fans is a little strange. It doesn't make a lot of sense. But this one also makes sense because David Bender has stepped up, right? And he's become even more consistent. And then you talked about Leonga LaFalle. That's another guy. I spoke with Maurice Blackwell. Shout out to the 3rd and Longhorns podcast. Got a chance to speak with him and was really impressed by how unselfish Maurice Blackwell was. I mean, that's why he's changed positions a lot, because he'll do whatever any of the coaches ask him to do. And he's another guy that's at that linebacker spot that they like to use situationally. He's kind of their not a true nickel, but he'll provide them with a hybrid that can be a guy that's good in coverage, but also a guy that can come down and play the run. So they got so many different body types. And Blackshear was another one, right? We'll see 255 pounds. I've been saying this about that off-ball linebacker spot. There are so many different body types at that spot opposite Anthony Hill. I just wonder exactly what they're going to go with, or if we'll see them use different pieces and maybe mix and match some of those pieces depending on the match that week. Because you do have some guys that may be better against the run. You do have some guys that look like they may better be better in coverage situations at the linebacker spot. So you want a guy that can do it all, which is essentially what you have in Anthony Hill. I love what CJ says about Leonga LaFau, that he's probably the closest that can give you that right now, and kind of an all-purpose, all every down linebacker. But until that point, maybe they'll money ball it. But that's not a concern. I think, like I said, the attrition there is healthy attrition. I believe he's leaving because he doesn't have a path to play. The Samaje Burrell thing, obviously, we know there was, you know, the extenuating circumstances there with what he went through. But for the most part, healthy attrition. The only one that's I'm saying it's unhealthy attrition, but it obviously doesn't help. It doesn't necessarily help Texas, and it's not necessarily you churning out the roster and upgrading is that cornerback spot with Terrence Brooks. So the transfer stuff right now with Texas, I think right now they're in a really good spot transfer portal-wise. Would have been nice if that Takario Davis news that dropped, that he's going to stay at Arizona. I'm not surprised. He's there with Coach Akina. Coach Akina's got a reputation, guys, for producing great NFL DBs, and I'm sure Coach Akina broke out that resume of NFL DBs that he has developed throughout the years and convinced Takario Davis was a first-round prospect. I saw a top 25 big board today with him on it in the top, like, 25, 30 guys. There you go. My man CJ Vogel breaking it down for you via Twitter. Yeah, he's going to stay. So Texas got to find – that is the only concerning transfer portal departure for me. And Texas needs to find solutions and answers there at that corner.
Good stuff right there, Rod. But CJ, so on Takario Davis, there's your tweet. Matt Zenith with the story as well. Takario Davis, it was thought he may jump into the portal, but not going to. He's a big-time player. You got to replace Terrence Brooks at corner. You had a breaking story today concerning a San Jose State, I believe, transfer that is into the portal now.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, to your point about Texas, you know, sitting nicely in the portal so far, of those nine portal entrants we've seen so far in the spring, only one of them had a start under their belt at Texas. And while, you know, that might not necessarily be something for big worry, of course, Terrence Brooks did have 19 of those starts. He was a starter the last year and a half, 2 years of his time at Texas. So that's a starter that's off the board right now for Texas on their depth chart. Well, they're making moves right now. They will be hosting former San Jose State cornerback Javion Cole out of Oakland for a visit on Thursday. He will be making it in to campus to visit the Longhorns, Terry Joseph, Steve Sarkisian, and the staff. Of course, many of those coaches are out on the road seeing high school prospects in the 2025 and 2026 classes at the moment. We'll dive into that a little bit later. But Javion Cole coming in out of San Jose State, he actually began his college career at Cal Poly before spending a year at San Jose State a year ago. Ended up having 10 PBUs, 3 interceptions. He's only 5'11", but ran a 10.6 fat time in the 100-meter dash out of high school in Oakland. Again, this is a guy in the Oakland Athletic League where if you're the player of the year in that league, and I was talking to Bobby about this earlier today, odds are you have a bright future ahead of you. I know he didn't start necessarily at the highest level of football to begin his college career, but if you go back and look at some of the guys that have been produced out of that Oakland Athletic League, you'll see some really talented ball players. Marshawn Lynch comes to mind right off the top of the brain, essentially. So a really talented kid, sticky in coverage. If you go back and you watch his high school tape from 2022, I mean, this is a guy who has a 7-minute highlight tape at cornerback alone. I think he has 7 or 8 interceptions, multiple punt returns for touchdowns, very jittery in his movement. He's a jitterbug, essentially. I can change direction very well. Obviously plays the ball tremendously with those interceptions, someone that gets after the rock. He would play at Texas. I know there's a lot of folks that might be kind of concerned whether or not Texas going after a kid from San Jose State would provide an immediate impact. This is a guy that would see the field for the Longhorns, at the very least in a rotational role. And I think if you go back and you watch the tape at him at San Jose State, you might see him an extended role should he come to Texas. Auburn's another team to look out there. Michigan State, he mentioned, might visit. Right now, Texas is the first school that he has a visit locked in for, and right now is the only school that he has visit plans for that are locked in at the moment. So we'll see exactly what comes of that. Again, he'll be on campus in 2 days. But again, the All-City Oakland Athletic League MVP, to do that at 6 foot, 165, and I think he's listed actually about 5'11 at San Jose State. I mean, it really speaks volumes to the type of athlete that he is. Really impressive player. And again, 5'11, not the greatest, not necessarily what Texas has been recruiting at that cornerback spot. When you go back and you look at the recent recruiting classes and the length that Texas has been able to accumulate. But hey, you watch this tape real quick and you get an understanding of how quickly he can turn back and play the ball. That, to me, gives you a little bit of an indication of how talented he is as a cornerback. Rod, as you watch this guy right now, let me know what you think. Of course, the cornerback whisperer, I mean, he plays a little bit bigger than 5'11". Just finding the ball, to me, is the number one thing that jumps off the page when watching this tape, not only in high school but going to San Jose State as well. I watched that game against Coastal Carolina last year, and I mean, he's not targeted very often, and he finds ways to impact the ball in the air.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. Ball hawk kind of stands out to me, too. This is a guy that plays the ball, and he's playing off cover. You can tell his eyes are on the quarterback, and he's taking that three-step read to make sure the quarterback's not bending the ball out quickly. So he's one of those guys. He uses his instincts, and I like that as a player. I can tell you that, you know, if you got a guy that naturally has a feel for the cornerback position, which it looks like he does, it looks like he's a field cornerback, too. Looks like he's the guy that would project to play in the field because he's a little bit smaller. But I think his off coverage is, man, just the way that he comes out of his stance, and it's not even a backpedal. It's almost a shuffle slash backpedal. He's very comfortable. He does it. He looks relaxed, and he doesn't look like he is rushed coming out of his stance. That's important. A lot of guys, they get out of there too quickly. And oftentimes we live in a three-step world now in terms of the passing game. Everybody you're going up against, they're getting the ball out quickly. You know, most of the passing game in your route tree is going to be within 7 to 10 yards. That's where the game is played. Now, when you get to the deep vertical passing game, that's something different. You need to have a plan for when they do get past 12 to 15 yards, because those are your post routes, your post corners, your deep cuts, your vertical routes down the field. But, I mean, this is a guy that understands. He's patient. His game is – there's a lot of patience in his game. And I think he's rewarded with that by the patience with a lot of plays on the football.
Yeah, the thing that concerns me a little bit is you see a lot of off-ball coverage here, a lot of bail technique at Texas. Yeah. You don't see a whole lot of that. You see these guys up at the line of scrimmage. Again, there's not a whole lot of rerouting or pressing, but when you have that quickness, I think it can translate to moving up closer towards the line of scrimmage. Of course, 10.62 in the 100-meter dash. He's got the speed, and I think right now, having watched the tape a little bit, you see the lateral quickness as well. So if that's the biggest hurdle, I think it can be something he overcomes as a result of how athletic he is, but certainly something that might take a little bit of a time adjustment if he does end up at Texas. Of course, we know they like playing close to the line of scrimmage at their cornerback spots.
Yeah, that's why I think he's a field corner, because you're right. It seems like he's more comfortable with the cushion. I mean, some guys, they want to play press. They want to be up there. They don't want a cushion at all. I was one of those guys. I hated cushion. Cushion sucks because I got more space to cover, right? I've got to cover more space, and there's room for that receiver to work in that cushion. You're basically giving him space to work with. And man, some guys are really twitchy, and they're quick as they are fast. They can accelerate and decelerate. They give you all these really, you know, subtle movements of the head and subtle movements of the hands. And some guys can really – that's why I always watch the hips. Watch the hips. The hips don't lie. Shakira wasn't lying about that. That's the truth. Hips don't lie. Don't watch the hands. Don't watch the head. Don't watch even the chest. All that will get you mixed up. What won't ever get you mixed up are the hips. You can't go nowhere without them. But I hated cushion, though, because cushion, to me, it helped out those twitchy, fast wide receivers. It helped him out a ton. I'll give cushion to a bigger wide receiver because he's going to take him a while to get that big frame settled down and decelerate that big frame, unless you're freaks of nature like, I don't know, Marvin Harrison Jr. But most of those guys, takes them a while to get in and out of those breaks. Those really fast guys, oh, man, I hate cushion with them dudes because they get in and out of breaks fast. And that cushion that I have 5 or 6 yards on them, man, that's more than enough for those guys. Separation for those. It's separation already inherited. But what I like about his game, though, CJ, he's patient. Like, watch him. He does it. Even though he's off, he's really patient. Like, he almost sits on the routes a little bit, getting out. There's not an urgency to get out. And I tell guys all the time, if you're going to play off, you got to be patient playing that off coverage, because the game is basically played, like I said, it's a three-step game now. And a lot of guys, when they play off, they like to bail, and they like, and Texas likes a lot of bail coverage. And they want to get their back pedal. They want to get out of their back pedal as fast as possible. I tell guys, nah, man, relax out of that back pedal. Make it a slow back pedal so that when you do come up on that break, boom, you're already underneath that route a lot of the times. But you got to have sweet hips if you're going to do that. He's got sweet hips, because you got to be able to turn and be ready to go when it's go time, when they're about to run that go route on you.
Yeah, so we'll see how that visit goes Thursday. Again, there are a number of cornerbacks entering the portal as we speak. I was actually talking to Bobby and Jerry a little bit earlier as well. I mean, names are just flying in right now. And we'll see, again, just how much interest Texas has in all of these. Right now, the only one I've been able to confirm that will be on campus is Javion Cole, who has been recording a number of offers. I believe Buffalo, Cincinnati, Auburn, Michigan State. There have been teams that are reaching out to him. Of course, Texas, with the departure of Terrence Brooks, certainly in the market for another cornerback to join the roster right now. Again, I'm not sure if Texas has a lot of confidence, or at least the starting confidence that we'll see with a guy like Manny Muhammad right now with the guys that they have. Of course, we know Gavin Holmes is a guy who can contribute, be a rotational piece, but I'm not sure if they have that same confidence in a Warren Roberson, Kobe Black, you know, some of these younger guys. And of course, what happens then with a Jahdae Barron or Jalen Gilbo? Do you see them spin outside a little bit as well? So we'll see. But again, Javion Cole coming in Thursday for an unofficial visit with the Texas Longhorns. That's what we know for sure for now.
Guys, hey, Rod, on the Jahdae Barron thing, is there your thought? I mean, is there a chance he could move outside? Jalen Gilbo at the Star had a good spring. I mean, you've seen Jahdae. I mean, I know that's one of the things the NFL said to him, hey, let's see at some corner. I think that's a challenge, especially the student of the game that he is, that he would not, just swallow and go for it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that needs to be, if you're the coaches now, that needs to be your contingency plan. And not just for Jahdae Barron, but for a lot of these guys. They do have versatility. They've been, you know, championing their versatility in this offseason, recruiting guys with more versatility and position flex. Obviously, Jahdae Barron can play any position in that secondary, so you need to use that. You need to manufacture depth that way. Makuba can play any position in secondary. Use that versatility. Jalen Gilbo can play nickel and play corner for you. You got to use that now, because the versatility provides you with solutions, possible solutions to problems you're going to be presented with, not only with depth, but potential matchup problems for Texas. So that cornerback spot opposite of my man Malik Muhammad, and I think Malik Muhammad's going to be strong for you. But that cornerback spot opposite him, depending on the matchup that week. Listen, if they don't have a strong wide receiving core, and say they got a really good tight end, and they got a really good run game, and you prefer Jahdae Barron inside playing the star that week, or they got a really good slot wide receiver and you want him in the star, then use him that way. And then you can have your cornerback out on that island, but you're not necessarily threatened to be exposed by whatever that passing game, which is not an elite passing game, right? But if you're going to play an elite passing game and they got two really good receivers on the outside that are prolific, well, then you can move some pieces around. So I think they should look at mixing and matching more instead of wholesale rotations in the defensive backfield. I've talked about this. Instead of rotating basically a first group and then that second group behind them, more mixing and matching and using the versatility of guys, moving Jahdae Barron around with certain lineups and matchups, almost treating like a basketball team, right? There are different lineups that are more effective than others that you're bringing out there. And I think Texas needs to look at that potentially based on the matchup, then based on the DBs you have, just trying to get your best, most effective five out there. And because of the versatility, you can mix and match some pieces. Jalen Gilbo can play nickel for you. So can Makuba. So you can move Jadae Barron outside if you need to. And then you got safety depth, potentially. If you like your safety depth and your safeties are playing really well, and say you like what Jelani McDonald's bringing to the table, and you like what Derek Williams is doing at safety, and Taft, that is assignment sound, as he was last year. If you like that, then you can move Makuba around a little bit. Use the versatility. I think that's going to be the key this year, because if you don't get this young man, Javion Cole, in the transfer portal, you need to try to bring in somebody in the transfer portal, and also look for solutions and contingency plans with the versatility of these guys. But if you don't get these players, you might need to look at manufacturing some of those solutions with different lineups in the secondary that just may be overall more effective week to week than, you know, what you used last season.
Yeah, Max, real quick, I saw the comments. Who was that film of? That was of Javion Cole, a cornerback out of San Jose State, who will be on campus Thursday for a visit with the Longhorns.
It is our On Texas Football live stream. It's presented by Texas Electricity Ratings. And for those of you in Texas, and you're still living in major cities with deregulated electricity like Dallas and Houston and other places, you understand deregulated electricity and the market can be confusing as heck. Texas Electricity Ratings is a shopping website. Let you compare prices, read customer reviews, find a good electricity company that fits your needs. Also filters out a lot of the gimmicky plans that you don't want to mess with. Websites like Power to Choose, they trick customers and trick you into expensive bills. So if you're in the market for new electricity plans in deregulated areas of Texas, shop TexasElectricityRatings.com. That's TexasElectricityRatings.com. And if you do /OTF, please, that's TexasElectricityRatings.com/OTF. Just make sure you lock that in there. All of your electricity needs will be right there. No gimmicks, no hassles, just the right stuff, the straight scoop like you get right here on the Tuesday live stream and all of the programming here on the On Texas Football channel. The other big story portal-wise, Kendrick Blackshear is into the portal now for Texas 4 months after, number 9 for the Longhorns. Then there's the Dominic Williams story, right? I mean, that one's huge. That's a big-time player, defensive tackle out of TCU. I know you guys have talked about it a lot on the other shows here on the On Texas Football channel, but what's the latest, CJ, as we sit here on a Tuesday night? It's down to 3-4 schools. Texas in the mix. Where do they stand?
Yeah, well, they're certainly in the mix, that's for sure. Of course, he visited Texas last week in the midweek. First visit was Oklahoma, then Texas, Missouri over the weekend. Today was day one of his time down in LSU in Baton Rouge to visit with Bo Davis and the Tigers. Listen, it's not a slam dunk for Texas, and I think it's a little bit more so of a fight than maybe they expected, but Oklahoma made a really good first statement with Dominic Williams. Of course, they have a need at defensive tackle similarly to Texas, as does LSU, as does Missouri. You know, these four schools, he would start at all of them. Make no mistake. Of course, this is a very talented interior defensive lineman. You don't see these guys enter the portal all too often. And when you do, you put out a good package for them. NIL is not going to be a big differential across the board. All four schools are going to put together a good package, a good representation of the university and what they can do for him financially. The difference is, how does he fit in the scheme? How does he, relate to his position coach? And, of course, how talented of a team does he want to play for? Texas right now, going to be a pretty talented team. But you go out and you look at what Bo Davis did with Byron Murphy and Tavondre Sweat a year ago, Moro Ojemo Keandre Coburn 2 years before that. Juan, thank you for the super chat.
Thank you, Juan.
Bo Davis can sell Williams. He developed Byron Murphy and Tavondre Sweat, made them first-round picks. He can also sell. He made Sweat an Allen Award Trophy winner. So I would be very surprised if Texas wins out. Listen, I think that's a good take. And because, again, Bo Davis has a long history of developing these interior defensive linemen. He can look at 4 in the last 2 years getting drafted, one of them winning the award for the best interior defensive lineman in the entire country. So a bit of, hesitancy there. Kenny Baker will eventually have his skins on the wall, but right now he can't necessarily point to anybody that he's produced and developed at the college level as someone that he can necessarily say, yeah, I can turn you into him, although he would have a very lucrative deal here at Texas, and of course he would be on the field. The other thing there with Texas is last year, Byron Murphy and Tavondre Sweat only played – about 50 to 55% of the defensive snaps that they were eligible for. That doesn't necessarily include some of those blowout victories, I know, but when you go back and you look at some of LSU's, you know, Oklahoma's, Missouri's top numbers, they were creeping up closer to 65 or 70. So for a guy who's hoping to get enough tape on the field for his NFL hopes and dreams 1 year from now, that might make a bit of a differential as well. Oklahoma feels good. LSU feels good. Texas in the mix again. I would not be surprised. And with Jerry Hamilton spoke about this earlier today on the recruiting breakdown. If you see Texas and or Oklahoma make a last trip visit out to see Dominic Williams before the expected decision coming Wednesday or Thursday, that is, again, Wednesday or Thursday is the expected decision date for Dominic Williams. A lot of folks heavily invested here. He will make an instant impact at wherever he ends up.
Yeah, a lot of things going for Texas right now, Rod, as far as recruiting and, you know, development, everything we talk about. But that's the one, right? It's Kenny Baker. He's brand new. He doesn't really have a college football resume. He down the road may be big time. But, you know, Brett Venables developed a lot of big time defensive linemen at Clemson while he was there. And obviously Bo Davis. Now that's, you know, you're recruiting against your buddy there, your guy. That's just a challenge of the current climate in college football.
Yeah, and there's still, listen, if it doesn't necessarily work out with Dominic Williams, there's still plenty of talent for Kenny Baker to work with, and this is what you do as a coach, right? As Mike Tomlin's got a great saying, don't run from coaching, right? Don't keep complaining about the talent you got or the talent you don't got. Hey, that's what you do as a coach, all right? You make guys better. You help them reach their ceiling as a player, and I've heard great things about Kenny Baker. So he knows how it looks. He's been in the NFL. He spent some time there. He knows how it looks. He knows what it takes. So the raw materials he has here in Texas, and they brought in two guys via the transfer portal at the defensive tackle position with Savea, who I thought played really well in the spring game, was a good showing by him. And then, of course, Bill Norton, who they're bringing in. Well, both of those guys can provide some of that A-gap disruption that you need somebody that can play the nose tackle. It'd be great for Texas to get Dominic Williams. Trust me, I want Dominic Williams too. That'd be awesome because that guy, his upside is he's got a Sunday skill set, right? He's going to be an NFL player. But the truth is for Kenny Baker, you know, you can't worry about that. You can go recruit those guys. You don't get them. You gotta be a problem solver as a coach. Solve the problem. Problem right now is, honestly, the truth is, I think I feel better about the interior D-line right now, even without Dominic Williams, than I do about the secondary overall. I think the secondary's got some issues they got to figure out. And I think they got the pieces, but I think, to me, that may be a big concern because they've had more attrition there at key positions than, you know, than the D-line. Because D-line, they obviously lose Savondre Sweat and Byron Murphy, but you still got Afric Collins. Now, Vernon Broughton, he didn't play in the spring game, but Vernon Broughton's going to be a good player for you, too. I saw somebody in the chat, in the super chat here. Daniel, thank you for the super chat. Is Vernon Broughton a portal risk? Seems like he has been recruited over, and weird he skipped the spring game. I don't think he's been necessarily recruited over because they need D-tackles. I can't say he's been recruited over when, hell, they're bringing in D-tackles via the transfer portal because they're like, man, we need big humans there. Now, do they like what they've seen from Vernon Broughton? Maybe not, but they need him. Because they literally just need bodies at the D-tackle position right now, bigger humans. So it's an opportunity for him. Usually guys are leaving because they want a path to play. Now, is he threatened by these other guys coming in? As CJ mentioned, they rotate. They got a healthy rotation of at least four. Hell, they'd like more than four if they can get it. And if you're Vernon Broughton and you can't crack the top four in the rotation, well, then you might need to transfer then.
Especially when it was his job. I mean, he came into this spring as the starting nose right next to Alfred Collins. Again, to the point about the wedding, that's a weird deal to me. I think as a guy who's entering year five, you expect better than to miss, you know, the essential unofficial game of the spring. I mean, I'm still a little bit perplexed by that. That's a bit surprising.
I heard it was planned before the spring game announcement. Yeah. Before the date was announced.
You're going to plan your wedding for the fall?
I agree. I heard that's what it was. And that's what you would tell wifey. Or like, hey, babe, you can't do it for football season. Don't even think about it. Don't even come close to it. Don't come close to training camp. Don't. All right? You got half the year to do it, but you can't do it from basically August till, hell, now you got bowl season and playoff. You can't do it from basically August to February. Can't do it. All right, yeah. Then I'm in season. So you gave, you know how that is, guys. E. Hogan, you know how this is. You gave,
maybe I know.
You know how it is, CJ. I just had one of these like 3 years ago during COVID, actually. Got married during COVID. And you got to give wife your window. And once you give her that window, she goes to work. And I will admit, that's a conversation that Vernon Bridal was not willing to have after she went to work and planned the wedding for I don't know how many months and then go, "Bae, coach just announced the wedding zone 420. Announced the spring games on 420. I know you got the wedding on 420. We got to move." And she's like, "You told me I could do it anytime in this window." And he's like, "Got to move it." CJ, trust and believe. Yeah. Man, you don't want to have that conversation.
I've always said, whenever the wedding comes around, one day when I do get married, and I hope it does happen one day, I'm not going to have any plans. I'm not going to have any input on when the wedding is. I'm just going to show up. It's her day. I'm not going to miss a Saturday in the fall. I'll tell you that.
That's the only thing you can say. You can say, "Baby, I got to work. This is my job. You can't have doing football season." And my wife understood that, everything. And I even told her, I said, "You can't have the football season because none of my friends going to be able to come. Because a lot of my friends, they're in the football business. That's money season. They can't." And then she's like, "All right." And then she played it and did the damn thing. And I guarantee that's just how it went for Vernon Bridal. And he was not going to go back to wife and have that conversation. He'd rather go to his head coach and go, "Coach, I can't play the spring game." Rather than go to his wife and go, "Baby, I can't be at the win. We got to play." Nope. I you know what? And I support him on that. I support him. Yeah. I don't end up having that conversation with wife. And she planned it for months. We didn't got the caterer and the cake. And we didn't send out invitations, E, to all the people and the family. They got plane reservations booked, hotels booked. And you're going to call? What? Hell no. No, I ain't dealing with that. Yeah. Hell no. Nope.
Rod's 100% right. Having been through my own a long time ago, but also we did my son's wedding recently. It's you got to book a venue first and foremost. And those are hard to get. Once you pick a venue, then you got to get a weekend they're open. And once you get it, you can't move off of it. It's a challenge for sure. But, Vernon, I'm sure would have liked to have all his guys there too. They couldn't even go to the damn thing.
Exactly. He was sad. His friends couldn't be there.
But you'll learn one of these days, CJ. It's her day. You just show up on time and have your tux ready and you're good.
That's
all you do. Show up on time. And be on, it's her party, it's her event.
Amen.
And Vernon learned that, but that's an interesting conversation about defensive tackle. And to the point of rotation, I think that's interesting because Sark has said over and over, you've been at all the press conferences, CJ, and Rod, you've seen them all. I mean, he's, you know, we go back to year one when they were blowing fourth quarter leads without depth. I mean, he is a big believer in rotating guys to the point of Murphy and Sweat, you know, the number of plays they played. You not only want to be your best players fresh in the fourth quarter when it matters most, right? You want your guys not dragging, and that's a philosophy Sark believes in. PK believes in. Sark's talked about studying Georgia and Alabama, Clemson, other schools that have won national championships in this, you know, 14 playoff area. We're not going to a 12 team playoff. It's not about, you know, you got to have, you know, 4, 5, 6 guys you can rotate on that D line, especially moving to the SEC. These big physical teams. So that you are fresh in the fourth quarter with your best guys, you know, ready to win the football game in big moments.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, especially in that spot, you got to have them. You got to have those big bodies up in the interior. You would have liked to have seen how he would have stacked up with Tia Savea if they play well together. Of course, Sadir Mitchell had a good showing as well. To me, it would have been nice to see just how, if there were any new tricks, tips, you know, skills added over the offseason in the spring game, just to be on display one more time. I know some of those older guys, they weren't on the field all too much, but just to get an idea of how they looked in the pads with new guys around them, that would have been big. But a number of guys that we're continuing to monitor out of the portal, both on the nose tackle position and the cornerbacks. We'll continue to keep y'all updated over on OnTexasFootball.com. So come join us, join the community if you're not already. We got a tremendous group of guys and gals over on OnTexasFootball.com. So anything that's breaking, you'll find it there, of course, on the YouTube as well. So we got a lot to cover tonight on the Longhorn live stream too. So,
yeah. Hey, let's just say if Dominic Williams tomorrow or Tuesday picks somewhere else, which could happen, right? LSU, Oklahoma coming strong. Are there other defensive tackles in the portal, CJ, the Longhorns would pivot to? Is there – you know, as you said, today's the day that the window closes, but as long as paperwork is filed by today or tonight at midnight, you're in the portal, would there be other names, or would you know, Dominic Williams was one you have to chase. I mean, there's no doubt about it. He's a Sunday player, as Rod said. He's been a tremendous player at TCU for 2 years. I remember watching that champion semifinal game against Michigan as a freshman. Kid's out there at 18 years old holding his own with that rugged Michigan D-line or offensive line. This guy can play, but you have to go after him. If you don't get him, do they stand pat, or do you think they still look?
I think they still look, but I'm not sure they'll break the bank, obviously, in the same aspect they would for Dominic Williams. Again, I mean, he's a three-and-done kind of guy, in my opinion. The guy who was already an all-Big 12 honoree. He was a freshman All-American. He has the skins on the wall to, you know, certainly make some noise in the NFL draft after a season. And, of course, I think he looks at the SEC as a place he'd love to play at, especially when you consider Oklahoma, Missouri, LSU, and Texas as his four finalists at the moment. They'll continue to look. There's two interior defensive linemen out of Michigan State. Actually, it feels like the entire Michigan State program has entered the portal this afternoon. I don't know what's going on up in East Lansing, but we talked about interior defensive linemen out of the state of Michigan. I think we need to look to the green and white school rather than the maize and blue for where a potential, you know, solution could come from. Simeon Barrow is the number one guy up there that has entered the portal. I think Texas is kicking the tires a little bit. I'm not sure if he fits exactly what they're looking for. He's a true B or three tech kind of guy. About 75 to 80% of his snaps, according to Pro Football Focus, come over the three tech or in that B gap. Texas, again, looking for that nose, that true dominant anchor. That's more of what Dominic Williams provided out of the portal from TCU. So I'm not sure if they'll go all in with their chips on that one, but it's certainly, again, he's a very talented football player and would help the Texas defensive line. Again, another thing in this report, this portal recruitment for anybody amongst the D linemen is, hey, Texas has already taken two talented, you know, defensive linemen already. I think that's something that might not necessarily be, you know, pushing their favor all the way, you know.
Yeah.
With Bill Norton and Tia Savea, it's tough to kind of pitch coming in as a third guy, regardless of how talented you are and how much of a pitch that you have from the Texas side of things to play right away. Adding a third guy from one position to the interior defensive line in one portal window, it's a tough sell. So that might be something working against Texas just a little bit, but we'll see what they end up doing with Simeon Barrow and some of these other interior defensive linemen. Right now, I know that there's a small school interior defensive lineman. Let me grab his name again real quick, because he's JB or Suggs out of Grand Valley State. He was one that I had come across earlier this morning. I know Oklahoma, Kentucky, a number of other schools are interested at the moment. I'm not sure if Texas has been in contact just yet, but I do have a couple messages out to him and some folks around him. So we'll see again if anything happens there. That's a guy who, despite playing at kind of a lower level at Grand Valley State, a number of big-time SEC interest at the moment. And like I said earlier, these big-time interior defensive linemen, they don't come around too often. Nope. So if you find a gym, you got to pounce early and you got to pounce quick. So we'll see again. He's another name to know and at least keep a close eye on as the portal window comes to a close in just over 4 hours.
Yeah. I'm concerned. The reason that, you know, they're taking as many as bodies they can get, it seems, at D tackle. Immediately after the spring game, you know, when Sark was talking to the media, his media availability, you know, I thought he would bring up, you know, the secondary and how the secondary got exposed and torched out there. And he didn't. He went on a kind of a rant about the interior D-line and how we need big humans. We need more big humans on campus. And I thought that was very telling that, you know, that he was like, no, this is the issue that essentially he looks at that could tank their season. That could bring their season down and totally – it could be something going into the SEC, it's just a more physically aligned a scrimmage league. I think he believes that could be kind of a Shakespearean flaw. I mean, last year you made it to the college football playoff with a subpar passing defense. You damn near beat Washington with the best passing offense in the country with a subpar passing defense. So I think Sark believes now I can deal with that. Probably what he can't deal with is a team being able to run right up the gut on Texas – in the interior, with their interior D-line being exposed. And the reason for that is, just football-wise, they can control the clock, control the game, keep the ball away from Sark. ultimately, that's how you beat Texas. That's how Washington did, too. You know, Washington basically had a whole damn quarter where Texas never saw the football after the fumble and everything. That's how you beat Texas. You take away possessions from Sark. Because ultimately, Sark's going to score. He just got too many weapons. And offensively, he's just he's really progressive. His offenses are modern. He uses a lot of cheat codes and really, really progressive concepts. He's really impressive offensively. So I think ultimately how you beat Sark is you just limit the possessions. You just take away time from them. And that's what the running game, if the running game works against Texas, that's what it could do. Texas was so good last year because if you look at complementary football, the defense actually complement the offense really well because Sark would, the thing that kind of really Sark would get up big in those games. And then obviously the running game taken away, it would hurt Texas because Texas pass defense was subpar, so teams would come back. But in terms of teams being able to limit possessions for Texas, Texas can get in a shootout with teams and win because Sark's offense are designed to do that. What Texas can't do is get in a slug match with a team with limited possessions and be able to win. That's how Kalen DeBoer has actually beaten Sark twice. It hadn't really been the explosive plays as part of it, but Sark's been scoring with – he scored with Washington too. Washington, they were able to limit possessions for Sark. Go look at both of those games. They dominated time of possession, just kept the football, converting time and time again, long, sustained drives. That's how you beat Sark. And Sark knows if the rushing defense and they are weak up the guts of that defense, that's how you can beat them. In terms of he getting the shootout, Sark's down to getting the shootout. He's comfortable with it. He's like, all right, shootout, let's go. Pass defense ain't working. Let's go, baby. We got to score. I got plays. I got 40 of them in my opening damn script. What I'm not cool with is sitting on the damn sideline, you know, chewing my nails and waiting for my opportunity. And it may not come because my defense just can't hold up and they keep letting them convert time and time again. So I think that's why in that spring game he came out. I was wondering, like, why is he not complaining about the secondary? He just gave up like 700 yards past Cole Lord out there dealing on your secondary. Because I think he knows complimentary football-wise, he can deal with that. What he can't deal with is a team running down their throat.
Yeah, especially with a schedule that includes Michigan in week two and Georgia and, Texas A&M and Kentucky. Teams like to pound it down your throat anyhow. Yeah, that Washington game in the New Orleans in the Sugar Bowl, I mean, the two fumbles in the third quarter were huge. They never had the ball, and you're right about that. And they still had a chance to win the game late. Rod, tell them about our friends at Flat Creek. And as we roll on, our Tuesday live stream brought to you by Tex Electricity Ratings. We appreciate them, but also a great other partner here tonight.
No doubt about it. I want to thank our friends over at Flat Creek Estate Winery. Folks, they've done a great job. Flat Creek just won 11 awards in 30 days, including double gold Grand Reserve and Texas Grand Reserve at the Houston Rodeo. Flat Creek Estate Winery is raking in awards, and it's just a few minutes from the heart of Austin, Texas. Select bottles of the wines by Flat Creek Estate are now available at your local Specs, so now you can get a taste of what they're all about. Flat Creek Estate also is a gorgeous venue hosting events for the entire family all spring long. Check out their website for wine tastings, chef dinners, and even make a reservation to visit the property for Mother's Day coming up. Eat, drink, and be awesome at Flat Creek Estate. For more info, please visit flatcreekestate.com. That's flatcreekestate.com. It is a great wine. My wife loves wine. We brought a couple of bottles out from Flat Creek Estate. And they're all gone, so I got to get some more of those. The Super Texan, she would recommend. They're really good, but the venue is gorgeous. I went out there to visit those guys. They weren't even open. We just went to go visit to see the property. It is amazing. So I'm trying to get wifey on board, the new mother in my life, and my mom when she comes in town for Mother's Day to go visit Flat Creek Estate and have kind of a Mother's Day weekend. So that's a plan I'm trying to get together, but I would recommend for anybody out there looking for, you know, just a staycation or looking for a really cool date weekend, some type of thing, a getaway, Flat Creek Estate, fantastic, flatcreekestate.com.
Beautiful. Wow, I just saw the video. I want to go.
Oh, it's great. It's
a nice looking spot right there. Yeah. Hey, CJ, in addition to all the football that's going on, Kendrick Blackshear into the portal for Texas. You know, the kid from Arizona not jumping in the portal, which Texas would want to target a corner. You had the great report about the San Jose State corner who is going to be visiting Thursday. There's also basketball. There's also some basketball portal news. What's the latest on what Rodney Terry's up to with the roster building on the basketball front?
Yeah, Brandon Garrison, the big man at Oklahoma State, ended up committing to Kentucky earlier today. Texas, I was watching Coffee and Football earlier today, and of course, on the recruiting breakdown, Jerry actually said it surprised him a little bit that Texas kind of tapped the brakes there. I think they're pursuing some more athletic Big men, some guys that, you know, might have a little bit more quickness to their first step. I'm not saying, you know, Brandon Garrison's, you know, lead footer or anything like that, but I think there is a little bit more of a requisite for Rodney Terry in this stat to go get athletes that can move the ball a little bit on the interior. Right now, two names to keep an eye on that Jerry put up on TexasFootball.com. We also do basketball, a little hint there, but two names. First one is UCLA big man. I'm going to butcher this name very poorly, so bear with me here. Burke Bukin-Kintel. Again, it's a tough name. Hungarian, 6'9", played in the FIBA under 19. If you watch him in that tournament, really impressive kid. Can stretch the floor, stretch four kind of guy. Can rebound, can contest shots on the interior. Thing for me is he's got a strap on the outside. He's really, really smooth on those step, you know, kind of when he steps into his shot from beyond the arc. I liked what I saw there. And then JT Toppin out of New Mexico averaged 12.5 a year ago. New Mexico was a very physical team out in the Mountain West. They had some of my favorite late night betting nights watching some of those Mountain West games, whether it be Nevada, New Mexico, Colorado State. Number of big time games that were really, really enjoyable late into the evening last season. So those two names are ones to watch for Texas as they continue adding to their roster. To my knowledge, they've done a tremendous job so far just getting that roster ready to compete. Will it be, you know, one of the best teams in the country? Not ready to go that far, but it's certainly arms, legs, head, shoulders, whatever you want to call it, above where it was just a few weeks ago. And I think that alone is very encouraging considering what Texas lost, how that recruiting class was looking at the time, and then now seeing where it is, five portal additions so far, the two Indiana State kids, of course, Tremont Mark out of Arkansas as well. So you got a number of big-time additions, and they're looking to add two more, of course, with the UCLA big man and, of course, JT Toppin. I'm not going to try to mention his name again until I hear that pronounced on television or I see some way to pronunciate it. So that's where we're at right now, those two guys that Texas is looking at on the basketball side of things.
Am I right in just guessing here? Speculation never good, but – JT Toppin related to Obi Toppin, the is that his brother, a cousin, or what?
Younger brother. Yep.
Okay. Oh, nice.
Okay, good.
So now, should he end up at Texas again? Should he? Texas fans will then be able to say, "Ain't no stopping JT Toppin," because that was so much fun to say at Dayton. You know, with yeah, try to pronounce that. That's I can't do it. Bukin-Kintel.
Bukin-Kintel. Yeah, Bukin-Kintel.
I don't know.
That's good. I like that.
Bukin-Kintel. We'll go with that.
By the way, heck of a ball player. Heck of a ball player. I like how he stretches the floor, and he's got a good stroke on him.
Yeah. And they're going to be a good scoring team, obviously. I mean, the kid Jordan Pope from Oregon State was a big get over the weekend, or right into it. You mentioned Tremont Mark. I mean, they're going to score runs from their backcourt, I think. They need more front court, which is what they're working on right now.
Yep.
Which is good to see with Rodney Terry. All right, so football, basketball, as we said to start the hour here, portal closes at midnight tonight. But as CJ pointed out, if you get your paperwork in, you're still in the portal. Just got to have that filed here. And a couple more days, you'll still hear names that are moving on to other places in basketball and football. Gosh, Vic Schaefer on the women's side of basketball, bringing in players all over the place as well. It's a crazy time in the landscape of college athletics, without a doubt. So we're following the portal. We're watching the guys into the draft. I know you guys had a lot of conversation about the Longhorns in the draft. And I know there's already early mock drafts for 2025, and then we way too soon. You know, is it wrong to think that there could be three or four first-round picks on this team in 2024 into 2025, guys? If you think about Quinn and Kelvin Banks and Isaiah Bond, and obviously if Trey Moore blows up and has a great year, I don't know. I mean, are there guys? What's the number you're looking at? Because obviously it's had 11 drafted over six rounds, which was – a record for the program. They had the most in the first 52 picks of any school with five. What's the draftable talent on this year's team? And with the idea that, you know, if we were sitting here 1 year ago, we wouldn't have thought a lot of the guys that got drafted were going to get drafted in this draft. That's how development works, right? We wouldn't have talked about Keelan Robinson or Jordan Whittington, I don't think, a year ago at this time. I don't think we talked about Tavondre Sweat as the, you know, 40-something pick in the draft or 38th pick in the draft. That's what, and you know, development is. But as we sit here today, a year out, now that we know that this staff will develop players, what are the real high end draftable players you guys see on this team?
Yeah, I think you just said three of them. Obviously, Kelvin Banks is going to be right now, Kevin Banks is the highest. Quinn Ewers would hope that he would be the highest. I saw the DraftKings odds for the number one overall pick, and I believe if Shedeur Sanders had the best odds, plus 100 for the number one overall pick, and then tied for second, Carson Beck and Quinn Ewers at plus 300. So if Quinn ends up being the first quarterback taken next season, then, yeah, it's a good chance he will be the first Longhorn off the board. But Kelvin Banks, even if he had left this year or last year, chances are the guy still would have been a top 10 pick. I mean, that's how good he has been for a long time. So I think he projects that. You talked about Isaiah Bond. If he has a really good year with the 40 time that he's going to run, he's going to be impressive when it comes to testing. If you go look at, I mean, honestly, Jahdae Barron's not going to be a first-round pick. But in that secondary, you should have multiple draft picks coming out. Jahdae Barron should get drafted. Makuba should be another guy that's getting drafted out of that secondary for you on that side of the ball. And then you're right, there's always going to be surprises that we're not expecting. Guys who have breakout campaigns, who blow up and decide, you know what, they're going to test the waters. You know, there are certain guys. Jaden Blue could be one of those guys if he has a really big year. I could see Jaden Blue deciding, you know what? As a matter of fact, I think he said it, actually. I believe he said that he's going. And it's because of the running back position and how he's been devalued and, you know, guys trying to get to that second contract quicker, the shelf life of the running back position. That's another one I could see. I mean, you look at the wide receiver position overall for Texas. Those guys are relatively young that are at wide receiver right now. So Isaiah Bond's the one guy. But you know, Amari Nyeblack, I mean, there's another guy that may have an NFL seat. Gunnar Helm, depending if he has a really good year, as a guy that also may end up in, you know, that draftable prospects for Texas. I mean, there are a ton of guys you can think of. Alfred Collins is another guy that's gone. If he has a big year, I mean, he has a big year. Alfred Collins got measurables that you can't coach that kind of stuff. And the frame that he's got, if he puts it all together, the light goes off for him. And he has one of those years like Devondre Sweat, Byron Murphy had last year, or Keontae Coburn and Ojimo the year before that. He's obviously one of those guys that'll be going in the first 2 days of the draft. I mean, I think you could get 8-9 guys drafted again pretty easily. I don't think that's being a homer if you're looking at that as a Longhorn fan at all.
I think duplicating what we saw this year is absolutely on the table. I think getting 12 might not be too far away. I do limited to two, and I say limit if it's a bad thing, but I think two right now is your limit at the moment for first rounders. I think it's Quinn and Kelvin Banks. I just don't think with Isaiah Bond he's going to have what separates the great college players from the athletic freaks who also produce at the college level that get into the first round. Of course, Xavier Worthy fell to 28 after breaking the all-time combine record for the 40, and then had 3 years of tremendous output and production at the University of Texas. He still only went 28th. So it takes a lot to be a first-round pick, especially if you're not a quarterback or a left tackle, because that's essentially where these NFL teams put all of their money in right now, is the gunslinger and the guy that protects them on the blind side. So Kelvin Banks, Quinn Ewers, those are my two guys. But Rod, Jerry, and I talked about this earlier in the week. I came up with 20 names that could hear their names drafted next year. And that's obviously not saying that 20 guys are expecting to hear their names called in 2025's NFL draft. But, I mean, you have a couple of fringe guys on the back end. We mentioned Quinn Ewers, Kelvin Banks, Isaiah Bond, Trey Moore, Jahdae, Andrew Makuba, Amari Nyeblack. That's seven off the bat. Now, depending on good seasons from a guy who will test very well, like Alfred Collins, David Benda will test well. Could Gunnar Helm or Jake Majors make that jump? We'll see. They'll be a first time, or, you know, they'll be starting again at the University of Texas coming off of a big year. Tia Savea now playing in the SEC. What is Silas Bolden, who has 10-6 speed and a great year at Oregon State in 2023, bring to the table? And that hasn't even mentioned guys like Cam Williams, DJ Campbell, Jaden Blue. Matthew Golden, Ethan Burke, that's five extra guys that could make the jump from their junior season into the draft. There's all sorts of possibilities here. And this is, again, credit to the Texas staff for continuing that level of, NFL talent coming into the program and, again, restocking it the year after that. I'm not saying 20 guys are going to hear their names called. I'm not saying 12 guys will hear their names called. But you could certainly see the argument right now before the season is played that if they have a great year, I could see them falling into that seventh, eighth, or, you know, sixth, seventh round at the end of the day for the NFL draft in 2025. So we'll see, of course. But again, you know, I mean, name another year, at least in the last decade, where Texas has had the possibility for 15 to even, you know, even 10 names aside from last year going into the NFL draft. It's very encouraging the state in which Texas program is at the moment.
Well, and Rod, you know this. You were part of it as it compounded. I covered it. I mean, it's, you know, there was a time not long ago when you know, area scouts and NFL scouts that covered the Longhorns, you know, it was seen as a program that's not developing talent. I mean, they would come and watch practice and whatnot, but not optimistic. The players would get labels. And a lot of guys that are still playing in the NFL slid in the draft because of that reputation, right, and had to earn their way as free agents or back end of the draft kind of guys. Now, the opposite of that is true, too. When you're developing players like they are right now, the scouts show up and they've got that list of guys that CJ just mentioned that they're keeping their eyes on. Obviously, they're watching the younger guys too, the Arch Mannings of the world and the Anthony Hills and the Colin Simmons are already taking their notes on those guys for the future. But, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if some of those NFL scouts who cover Texas have a list just like CJ just mentioned that when I walk in, I want to watch all these guys. I want to keep an eye on all of them because Texas is now – putting players into that pipeline. I got to pay attention to this now. That's important because, you know, when you get a reputation one way, the reputation also can slip the other way, which I think Texas has done right now.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I mean, how many scouts, execs, and NFL GMs and coaches they have at the pro day? Was it 90? Something like that, CJ?
Yeah, 96. Three head coaches.
Exactly. All right, that's essentially if you want if you want to showcase your program on the biggest stage with the NFL, and all these guys have NFL aspirations. Ultimately, you know, you want these guys to be able, you know, to, you know, perform in front of the biggest crowds, whether that be playing in championship on a championship stage, playing at the University of Texas in front of hundreds of thousands of fans, or whether that be when you have to, you know, test and at a pro day, test in front of the best NFL scouts and GMs and execs out there. So I think it's just, you know, once again, proves that Texas can put you on the big stage. And I think that's what Sark has proven that he can do for these guys, whether it be accomplishing your ultimate dream of playing in the NFL or playing for championships or even playing at Texas, because you know, we know how what football is in the state of Texas. I think that's what, as a player, that's what I see it as, that you come to Texas for that pressure. You come to Texas to be on the big stage. There's a lot of responsibility with that. But I think Sark has once again been able to really maximize the brand and now sell and market the brand to these young guys. And that's also been, I think, a testament to his coaching staff and what he's built and the development. I mean, he put everything on the right track. This was his vision for the program. And he talked about it. He was open about his vision for the program. And I think now he's starting to, you know, I think see it come to fruition. All the BBs are in the box. Texas is a dangerous program when all the BBs are in the box. And right now, with NIL and the transfer portal being kind of the law of the land, all those things benefit Texas. And that's why I think you're seeing accelerate. You can't even compare this to Mac Brown. Are people trying to compare, you know, his turnaround to Mac Brown's turnaround? You really can't compare them. Everything is happening at an accelerated rate these days, right? You know, technological advances, they improve upon, you know, other advances exponentially, right? It increases exponentially. The same thing is happening in college football right now. The changes are happening so fast, but these changes are also allowing programs like Texas, considering how big it is as a program, to turn it around really quickly. With the transfer portal, with NIL, you finally weaponize the finances at Texas, the tremendous donor base and the affluent donor base who've always been committed to the brand, always wanted to make sure that they have as much support as they can. Now that's legal. And I don't know if the University of Texas has ever had an advantage like that. Well, I don't know if they've ever had an advantage like that, gentlemen. And I can't take that away.
No, and I think it leads to what you guys just said about the number of players that could be next year because the portal, I mean, some of the guys you mentioned came to Texas through the portal, like A.D. Mitchell did, and then guys came back because of NIL, like Jahdae Barron, you know, like Alfred Collins, who would have been in this draft this year and instead are coming back to improve their stock in 2024 for the 2025 draft. Guys, let's get one more. I'm going to read this one more time and tell you about Texas Electricity Ratings, our presenting sponsor tonight and partner. And then we have one more super chat we need to get to. But Texas Electricity Ratings, for all you folks out there living in the deregulated areas of the Lone Star State, Houston and Dallas most specifically, you understand deregulated electricity can be tremendous, but it can also be confusing. And Texas Electricity Rating is your shopping website that allows you to compare prices, read customer reviews from real customers, find that good electricity that fits your needs for your family. Also, it filters out a lot of the gimmickly plans. And there's websites out there like Power to Choose that trick customers into expensive bills that you don't want to be a part of. So if you're in that market for electricity in a deregulated area, make sure you shop TexasElectricityRatings.com/OTF. That's TexasElectricityRatings.com/OTF on Texas football for all of your electricity needs. Presenting the Tuesday live stream and Hook'em from TER. We appreciate them very, very much. On OTF. One more super chat according to Matthew. What do we have here, Matt?
Hey.
There you go, Rod. Hey. Eddie, thanks, buddy.
Appreciate that, Eddie. You're the man. Yeah,
absolutely. Eddie, God thanks bless. For the super chat. In terms of West Texas too, guys to watch, how far west do you want to go? Because 2026 class has a tremendous quarterback out in El Paso. I'm not sure if that still categorizes as West Texas or El Paso, whatever you want to call it. But Jake Fetty, Del Valle High School out in El Paso. I believe he has the liveliest arm of anybody in that 26 class in the state of Texas. Texas Tech, TCU, all over him at the moment. I wonder if A.J. Milwee gets out to see him at some point this spring, because watching him at the Elite 11 down here in Austin a few weeks ago, really, really impressive kid. And then Chase Campbell out of Friendship, which is in Wolfworth, Texas, up by the Panhandle, a 5'11 wide receiver, two-sport guy, plays basketball as well in the 2026 class, really talented kid, has a number of P5 offers as well, top 50 kid in the state of Texas. Those really are the two in the 2026 class. 2025 class doesn't really have as many West Texas kids. I know we talked about Harris Sewell a few years ago. Brennan Thompson was another one out of the West Texas area. So, you'll see one or two pop up every cycle. Right now, the 2025 class lacking just a little bit out of the West Texas area.
All right. Steph. Guys, great stuff tonight, and great stuff as always on the On Texas Football channel. This is one of those really busy days, and that's why you come to the YouTube channel here on Texas Football for info like CJ and the analysis from Rod. CJ, a little quick recap. Takario Davis from Arizona, not going to be in the portal. He's going to stay at Arizona. And as Rod told you, that's a lot of Dwayne Aquina influence there. You know, that's a guy that has put a lot of guys, including Rod, into the NFL or helped Rod get to the NFL.
Yep.
The Dominic Williams conversation is going to, you know, Wednesday or Thursday sort itself out. Longhorns are in the mix there. There is a one more time on the corner from San Jose State that's going to be rolling in here for a visit on Thursday, CJ.
Yeah, absolutely. Javion Cole out of San Jose State, 5'11", but has 10-6 speed. Had 3 interceptions, 10 pass breakups a year ago in his first D1 season of football. Talented kid coming in on Thursday for a visit to Texas. Texas coaching staff also all over the place across the country. Kenny Baker all over the map. Johnny Nansen on the West Coast. You'll see these coaches going everywhere. Also wanted to mention, Jerry just sent me a text earlier today. Kevin Wynn, the defensive lineman out of Georgia, locked in a Texas official visit for June 14th through 16th. That is, again, Kevin Wynn out of Georgia, talented defensive lineman. The Texas staff is out to see him earlier today and this week. So a lot going on. Kendrick Blackshear also entered the portal from the Texas side of things. He is portal entrant number 9 for the Longhorns this spring. Add Bill Norton to that. You have 81 scholarships at the moment as well. So a lot going on. We'll have you updated here as well tomorrow night for the Longhorn live stream.
Nice.
All right, guys. Coffee and football tomorrow morning at 8, and we roll on. Great stuff. Appreciate Matt back at the headquarters there, running the show, making it all happen with the graphics and all the messages. Rod, CJ, awesome stuff as usual. Fun Tuesday. The portal closes at midnight. It's not going to slow down, but at least it closes. And we're near the end of the portal.
The madness stops. Portal combat.
Yeah, the madness slows down for CJ over there. Maybe he can get some rest and find that wife of his eventually and see how weddings
work. You got to get out there, CJ. Get out there, mate.
All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Welcome.